And thank you for the Sabbath. Amen. Are you all happy to be here? I'm happy to be here this morning. Sabbath, as I always say, is the dessert of the week, right? The postre. Okay. You like dessert? Yes? All right. I got to eat my favorite dessert this last week. I only eat it like once a time per year. And it is cheesecake. I'm not done yet with that. Still more in the refrigerator, but that's my favorite one. So I compare Sabbath with a dessert that you enjoy, right? Today is a time, right now, to be happy, to be joyful in the Lord. Amen? Because we are here. We are alive. And most important thing, we are with God. He is here through the Holy Spirit. Amen? I would like to invite you, before I start my sermon today, invite you to come on Wednesdays. I know it's an announcement, but we have prayer meeting on Wednesdays. Has been a blessing for my family, for me. So I really invite you to be here. We start at 6:30. We eat some food, and then we have a devotional. We pray, of course, and we have a blessed time when we come here. So if you have time, I know many of you are busy, but if you have the time, every Wednesday we have 6:30. But if you get off work late, you can come at 7, it's okay, right? And receive the blessing to be here and congregate and pray for each other. Amen? Is God good? Yes, He is good. He loves us and He cares about us. All right. A certain place, an awesome place. I want you to open your Bible in our scripture reading this morning, which is in Genesis chapter 28. And this is a story, part of the story of Jacob. And I'm sure that God has a message for me this morning and has a message for you this morning as well. We all know the story of Jacob, right? And at this point in his life, he was fleeing from his brother because of what he did. He deceived his father, he deceived his brother, and his brother got very angry at him. He was mad. Even he said, I can't wait till my father dies so I can kill my brother. Right? So Rebecca heard that, and then he advised his son to leave. Go with my brother over there, because your brother wants to kill you. Very sad, right? Let's read. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Aram. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. Excuse me. And the angel of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and then he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and the east, to the north and the south. All people on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and I will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." Amen? So, I want this morning to go over some details of this story. And this is a transformation story, right? But let's take a look at some details first. We have Jacob's family right here, right? Now, Jacob's family was a very dysfunctional family. If we read the story of Abraham, right, Isaac, Ishmael, it was a dysfunctional family. And let me tell you something. We, you and I, come for dysfunctional families, right? Somehow. Because we are humans, okay? My parents were not perfect, and I'm not perfect as a parent. And you're not perfect either. There are some dysfunctional dynamics going on in every family, right? And Jacob's family was not the exception, okay? It was a very dysfunctional family, okay? The interaction between family members was not the best. And there was a dynamic in this family where they have teams, right? Rebecca sided with, she used to favor Jacob, right? He was the spoiled one. And parents that are here this morning, let me tell you something. Maybe you already know this. But when we favor, when we treat our kids different than the others, than the other kid, that becomes dysfunctional, right? So try not to do that. And I don't know in your family, but in the Mexican family, usually, you know, the father tries different the boys than the girls, right? Especially in very traditional families. In my times. Oh, I have a boy. Okay. So when you start doing that, that becomes a problem. Because then resentment grows up, right? Jealousy between brothers and sisters. So try to avoid that. And I know it's hard, right? It's hard to do that. But we need to do that as parents. We need to try each kid equally. Don't favor them, one over the other, all right? So we have Isaac, which was Jacob's dad, and we have Rebecca, who was Isaac's wife, or Jacob's mom. And they all come from the same family, right? Can we go back, please? Thank you. I think I pushed the wrong button right here. They were all related, right? They all came from, Abraham was the brother Aram and Nahor, okay? And from Nahor comes Rebecca. So they were blood related. But like I said, very dysfunctional family. What's a dysfunctional family, by the way? A dysfunctional family is a family in which conflict, okay? Is there conflict in the families? Every family has conflict, right? Yes. Every family has conflicts. It's how you handle the conflict, how to manage the conflict that counts. Misbehavior and often child neglect or abuse on the part of individual parents occur continuously and regularly, leading other members to accommodate such actions. So this is a description of a dysfunctional family. When the family, especially the parents, the care providers, fail to provide for kids' needs. And I'm not talking about basic needs, physical needs. I'm talking especially about emotional needs and nurturing needs. All right? And we all here right now are the result of our family. We all come from a family, right? And the way we interact with each other is the result of the way we interact in our family when we are kids. Are you with me? We are a reflection of our family. We are the result of our family. Okay? So we know the story, how Rebecca made a plot to steal from Isa the birthright, right? And also the blessings from Jacob. We know all the story. And we know the results. So here we have Jacob now fleeing, because everything that we do has consequences, right? Everything that we do. That's one thing that I used to say to tell the youth when I was a counselor with youth. You can do whatever you think, whatever you want to do. You can do whatever you prefer to do. But let me tell you something. Always going to be consequences. And same happened to us as an adult, right? Consequences. It has to have to live. Now, he was mama's boy, right? Now, can you imagine that has to leave his home where he was spoiled and now has to go to be a stranger somewhere else? It was still family, right? But it's not the same. It's never going to be the same. Nothing like home, right? Maybe you don't know my story, but I have to leave my home when I was 8 years old. Not because of this, but for health situations. My mom wasn't able to take care of me, so I went to live with my older sister. And it was, even though it was my sister, never was the same, right? And it was very hard for me, 8 years old. Okay? So I can imagine Jacob's situation because of what he did, right? But he was running for his life. You will know the story right there, the deception. Now, he has to walk. It is around 900 miles from Canaan to Paddan Aram. And today's technology helped us a lot, right? We had Google Maps. So I made a calculation. How many days will take going from Canaan to Aram, not on a plane, not in a car, but walking. You know how many days? According to Google, 19 days without stopping. So it was not an easy journey, right? It was a long journey. And now, but I mean, I think that was not the most important part of it. It was his emotions. It was how he was feeling at that moment. And here we have the scenario. Okay. Let me read this for you. This is from Ellen G. White. It was a depressing scenario. Okay, why? When after his sin in deceiving Isa, Jacob fled from his father's home, he was weighed down, okay, with the sense of what? Now, I want you to pay attention to the emotions, okay, that Ellen G. White is describing here in Jacob's situation. He was with a sense of guilt. Is that something pleasant? How do you feel? Yeah. Now, humanistic psychology is against guilt. I think you know about this, right? And they say, well, you know, this religion is always trying to make people feel guilty so they can control them through guilt. But I think, and according to the Bible, guilt is very important, right? Because guilt is a tool that God uses through the Holy Spirit to show us what is sin, to make us feel bad. Can you imagine if there was no guilt? You just do whatever you want, good or bad. If it's bad, you don't feel guilty. So in one sense, it is okay. It is good to feel guilty, right? So it was good at that point, because then he was aware of his big need. When you feel guilty, you realize that you need something, right? Then God told him, lonely. Have you ever feel lonely? He was lonely. I want you to picture in your mind this scenario right there. He's in the middle of nowhere. And this is the first day that he walked. Remember, he has 19 more days to go, right? 18 maybe. So he walked a lot. Now you have this mama boy, tired, lonely, in the middle of nowhere, depressed, guilty feelings in his mind. Now, where is my bed? Well, there's no bed. I tried to look some picture of the place that they think was Bethel, you know, today. And it's a desert. Just, it's a rocky place. A lot of rocks right there. And lonely. And he didn't know if he was to see his mom again. And the Bible doesn't tell us if they met again. We don't know. So can you imagine what was going on in his mind at that time? Lonely. And outcast. Have you ever felt outcast? What is that? What does it mean? Rejected. He was thrown out by the circumstances. You had to go. As he was separated from all that had made life dear, all the luxury that he had at home was gone now. Okay? The one thought that above all others passed upon his soul was the fear, another emotion, fear, that his sin had cut him off from God. So above all these feelings, all this emotion, what was the one hammering his mind? Maybe God cut me off of his presence. Maybe God forgot about me, right? That his sin had cut him off from God, that he was forsaken of heaven. Was this a positive scenario? Optimistic scenario? No, especially in his mind, his emotions. He was a failure. Okay? Why he was a failure? Because he tried to do, instead of waiting and trusting the Lord, he tries to do his own way. And this is exactly what happened to us many times, right? We try to do our own way. We became impatient. We want it now. We want it this way, Lord. I want you to answer my prayer. Why, God, you don't answer my prayer the way I want it? And then we do things that we're not supposed to do. And this is what happened, right? Unfortunately. Depression. Sense of failure. There's no hope. There's no hope for me anymore. I'm done. I'm done with life. That's the way Jacob felt. I don't know what is going on in your life, but if you feel depressed today, let me tell you there is hope in Jesus Christ. You know, yes, we make mistakes. We make mistakes because we are humans. And remember, we come from a dysfunctional family. Of course, that doesn't justify our failures. But we do mistakes, right? And sometimes we feel depressed, sad, hopeless. But right there, in your depression, God is with you, as he was with Jacob. And he can transform lives in a mighty way, regardless of what you have done in the past. The past is the past, and there's nothing you can do to change it. Amen? There's nothing. But God can change your future. God can change your destiny in your failures. So let's keep reading. I'm going to go back a little bit. Jacob left Beersheba. Okay, now I want you to notice the words that I underlined it. When he reached a what? What was the name of this place? Has no name. It's just a regular place. Like I said, in the middle of nowhere. Just rocks. Dust. He stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones. Now, I want you to imagine Jacob, right? Remember, he was the spoiled one, right? Mama's boy. Maybe at home he has this nice bed, right? Orthopedic, right? And these nice pillows, right? Well, this nice bed. Talking about bed, I remember, I think it was in the 80s when it was like a trend, right? The water beds. How many of you got sleep in one of those? I did. I don't think they're comfortable. But in the 80s, you know, it was the best. Well, Jacob has his nice bed over there at home, but now he has to sleep on the ground. Now he's choosing his pillow. He's looking for, this is kind of hard. Okay, put it back. How about this one? Now this is, what's the point of looking? Oh, they're all hard, right? Hard rock. It was one of the stones, but I want you to notice that because that's important. Regular place, regular stone. But I want you to look what God can do with regular people like you and I. Amen? We're just regular. Who are we? Where we come from? Is there any value in us? We're sinners, right? There's nothing great in us. Just regular. But God can do miracles in your life and transform you and do great things through you and me. Do you believe that? Then what? Have a dream. How a depressed person can dream? Sometimes depressed people cannot even sleep, get to sleep. But when God is with you, he makes a difference. Are you with me? And even in his most depressing time, in his deepest time in his life, God gave him a dream. And God can do the same with you. Amen. Never give up. Amen. And most important, never stop dreaming. Never stop making plans for your life. Regardless of your age. I was a little bit curious about age and plans and dreams for life. And I'm going to show you a study later. But I'm saying this, regardless of your age. No, Pastor, I'm too old now. That's not true. You're never too old to have plans. You know, many people is fearful of retirement, right? And actually, many people get depressed after retirement. And they say, what are I going to do when I retire? Well, you have all the time to do stuff, right? So you need to have a dream at any time in your life. And that will motivate you. Okay? Dreams is what will keep you up. It's what wakes you up every morning. And especially, it's a dream that was given to you by God. Because God, if you don't have a dream, God does. Right? He has a dream for you. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on earth with his top reaching to heaven, and the angel of God were ascending and descending on it. Okay, and we all know what that is the interpretation for that stairway. Okay, we know it is Jesus, right? Because Jesus is the connection between earth and heaven. Amen? So basically, God was telling Jacob, do not worry. Don't be depressed. Don't be sad. Yes, you're a deceiver. Yes, you're a failure. Yes, you have made mistakes. But you know what? I haven't forsaken you. I'm here with you. I haven't forgot about you because I care about you. I care about you. Some quotes from some people here. If you stop dreaming, you stop what? Living. You have dreams, brothers and sisters? You have dreams? Amen. If you don't, I invite you today to pray to God and tell and ask God, God, what do you want me to do in this world? I want to be useful for you. I want to do something for God and something for my neighbor. Amen? Amen? And that will give you purpose in life. Perseverance is key to a prolonged dream. Keep your heart open to dreams. Amen? Amen? For as long as there's a dream, there is hope. And as long as there's hope, there is joy in living. Life satisfaction. Are you satisfied with your life? I hope so. If not, ask God. You are never too old to set another goal or to dream a new dream, right? Never too old. You know, this reminds me when I was at school in the seminar, one of the students, it was not in my same grade, but his dad was also a student in the seminar. You know, his dad, I think he was close to 60. So dad and son were the same school to be pastors. Okay, and he graduated. So I always think of that and say, there's never too late. It's never too old. You're never too old to start a new career, to start a new project in your life. And he was a pastor. And, you know, the rest of the class was always joking around with him, saying, hey, you know what happened? The dad had a better GPA than the son. So there was always, you know, teasing him for that. But, you know, you're never too old. It's never too late to put your life in God's hands and start new projects for his honor and glory. Those are the real dreams. Okay? Other dreams are fame, money, whatever it is, those are worldly. People in this world look for that. But we have higher dreams. Amen? Higher dreams. Because our dreams last for eternity. And our main goal, we as Christians, our main project is go to heaven, to go home, to be with Jesus. Amen. That's our main goal in this life. And to help spread the gospel. Because we're not going to go by ourselves. We need to spread the gospel to others. Tell them that Jesus Christ is coming. There is heaven and there is hope for this world. Brothers and sisters, it was not the last week, but the previous week, it was the UN meeting, convention, I don't know how they call it. United Nations, right? New York. And we heard leaders from all over the world. The scenario, the condition of the world is depressing. The window, the time window that we have to fix the problems, especially the pollution problems, the climate changes, is getting smaller and smaller. We're approaching a time of no return. Are you with me? So, I mean, our dreams have to go beyond this world. We don't belong to this world. Amen? We're citizens of heaven. And our dreams has to be beyond this world, beyond time. Amen? Okay, I don't know if you can read that. This is for youth. I like this Ellen G. White quote. Dear youth, what is the aim and purpose of your life? Wow. That's a straightforward question, right? It's a challenging question. Is something wrong with having dreams and purpose in life? No. Look what she said. Are you ambitious? Are you ambitious? Youth and adult, for education that will give you prestige and honor. Nothing wrong with having prestige and honor in this world. Amen? We as Christians, we have the light. We have the knowledge. We should always try our best. Why not? Okay? Just like Daniel, just like Joseph. Do you have dreams? Huh? You can even express that you will one day stand upon the summit of intellectual greatness. This is for youth. Don't be afraid of dreaming. Have great dreams. Nothing wrong with that. Actually, that's what God wants for you. That's the purpose that God has for you. Yes, we're not perfect. We're failures. But God can give you success in life. If you surrender your life to Jesus every day. Do you hope to one day sit as a legislator and help enact laws for the nation? And she said, there is nothing wrong in these aspirations. Amen? If you can reach your goals, don't be content with what? We need to get rid of that word. Mediocrity. What's mediocrity? It's like, you know, middle ground. I mean, has to do with comfort zone. We all have a comfort zone, right? What's the comfort zone? By the way, we're comfortable, right? It's just a stage of being okay where you are. That's mediocrity. Someone said one time, Comfort zone is a beautiful place. You feel good. Comfort zone is a beautiful place, but nothing grows there. There's no growth. If you don't grow, you start dying. So think about this. Dream. That's what LGY says. There's nothing wrong with that. Aim high and exert yourself to reach your goal. Amen? All right. This is the study that I found. Having a sense of purpose or dreams, projects, add years to your life. Do you know that? And it was, the study was made on all range of ages. And there's more studies about that. Elderly people that have still dreams and projects in their life live longer. Why? Because it gives them motivation. 80% of people that wake up in the morning don't know where to go. No dreams, no projects. They just live because they breathe. They have no aspirations. 80%. That's why so much depression and anxiety. But we as Adventists are the 20%, right? Because we know where we're going. We know that we're going to heaven. But in the meantime, we can do great things for God in this world, right? That will give you sense in your life. All right. I think that's repeated right there. Now we have the dream. Now let's read verse 15. I like this promise. I am with you. So remember what we read? The present scenario, he feels lonely. Right? But God is telling him, because you know, God knows our needs. Okay? He knew that Jacob was feeling lonely. So he knows. He's telling you tonight, this morning, I'm sorry, I am with you. Do you feel God in your heart? It's right here. I am with you. You might be going through difficulties, problems. Maybe you feel depressed, outcasted. But even there, God is with you. Can you feel it? And he is real. He is real. He is a true God. He is powerful. Amen? Have you felt God in your, have you felt God in your heart, in your life? Every day, yes. And we'll watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. And I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. These words are for you and for me. He will not leave you. And brothers and sisters, I can tell you that God has never left me. Left me. And I'm sure you have stories also. Right? That his presence is right there. Yes, sometimes we go through depression. That's, we can say, normal. But even in that depression, God is with you. And he's going to give you his hand to lift you up and take you out of that situation. That's his purpose. Let's finish with this. Transformation. The place was certain place, right? Who cares about that place? But now, because Jacob has a dream and God was there, look what happened. He said, how awesome is this place? Wow. That's a total transformation, right? This place is not longer just rocks and sand and dust. It's an awesome place. So God can transform your life. Having a normal life, being nobody, to be a great Christian, a great son and daughter of God, a great person, a person who reflects God's character. He can do that for us. He wants to do that for us. And that's the purpose of God for our life. So from being certain place, regular place, to be what? House of God. Where God dwells. God wants to take you from being a regular person to be also the temple of God. Where God dwells through the Holy Spirit in you. So you can be a blessing to others. You want to do that? Be a blessing to others. And from to be a certain place to be now what? Gate of heaven. Access to heaven. Brothers and sisters, you and I can be the gate of heavens. Meaning, through us, people can know about Jesus, about salvation, and can get access to heaven. Do you want to be gate of heaven? Tell others about salvation. Help others. Brothers and sisters, we have so much light that we need to share in all regards, not only doctrine. We have the pure doctrine, amen? But also we have the health message, better lifestyle. How many people is out there, outside the church, with so many needs? And we have the solution, not because it's us, because God has given it to us. Not to keep it for ourselves, but to share. Let's not be selfish. Let's share what we know. Let's help others. Let's be the gate of heaven where people can have access to God. Big transformation. Now about the stone. We talk about the place, right? Now it's an awesome place. Holy place because God was there. Now the stone. Early the next morning. Now let me tell you something. Does depressed people wake up early, usually? Now, which means that Jacob was not a depressed person anymore, right? Because he had an encounter with God. Amen? He changed your depression to optimism, to a positive life. He wants to do that. Just ask God, the Holy Spirit, come into your life, and you will get rid of depression. All those negative thoughts about yourself will be gone. The devil is always giving you these voices. You're not good. You're a failure. You're a sinner. You're not smart enough. You're not capable. Ask for the Holy Spirit, and he will replace those negative thoughts. Those are called, in psychology, cognitive distortions. The lies we tell ourselves many times. So he was not depressed anymore. He woke up early in the morning with energy, amen, from God, optimistic. And Jacob took the stone, that stone that he found, right, that he chose, that he picked to be his pillow, and set it up as what? Pillar. And pour oil. So now it was sanctified. So it was not a regular stone anymore. It was a special stone. Right? And he called that place Bethel. Though the city used to be called Luz. Do you want to be transformed? By God's Spirit. God wants to be in your life. Wherever you are, with your failures, with your mistakes, doesn't matter. God is mighty. He can transform your life to be a regular life, now to be a great life. Again, for the glory and honor of our Savior Jesus Christ. May God bless you this morning.